You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and join us every week to get in on the action. Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Here by myself for a quick second. We hosted a Spotify Green Room after the game on Thursday. It seemed like it might be a happy Spotify Green Room until Dave Roberts and Kenley Jansen combined to turn it into a nightmare. The Dodgers lost again, fell to three games behind the Giants. We talked about Kenley Jansen. We talked about Dave Roberts. We talked about some potential arms that hadn't been mentioned yet that the Dodgers could trade for, and just talked about some other general things surrounding the Dodgers and this past week. So we're going to hop right into it, but not before I remind you to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's hop into the green room.
I said on Twitter, I didn't like the move to bring Kenley in. I still expect it to work, but that's because even bad closers are successful like 90% of the time. You know, the chances are Kenley would luck into a save even if he wasn't super sharp. And really, that's what happened. You know, if Sheldon Noisy knows how to stretch like a first baseman a little bit, the Dodgers win 3-1 or 3-2. Yeah, 3-1. And if the umpire is better at his job, they win 3-2. You know, obviously Kenley is the one who loaded the bases in the first place, and he's the one who went to a full count on Ruff, and you know, had only thrown one pitch, only threw one pitch in the strike zone that whole at bat. So, you know, it's not totally on the umpire, but that's why closers are successful most of the time, because it's really hard to give up four runs in an inning if you're a major league pitcher. Kenley has found ways to be bad the last couple nights, and not fun, huh, Vince?
Not fun at all. A lot to say about it, you know, in general, Jansen, Roberts. And I feel like, well, we'll see if Jansen's comments come out here, if he even talks to the media. But it's a matter of one of those where you could sympathize with Jansen a little bit because he did have a few bad breaks in that inning. But also the fact that, like you said, you put yourself into that position to let things like that affect the way your inning goes. And, you know, that's not a recipe for success. And honestly, you know, I put the blame more on Dave Roberts and Jansen for this specific game, just for the simple fact that Jansen should have been out there. Even with the blown save yesterday, I don't mind that. Could bring him back second day after a blown save. That's fine with me. But he threw 27 pitches yesterday. We've seen him struggle on back-to-back days in general. And it just seemed like, you know, this is not something Dave Roberts wasn't following this specifically. We know Dave Roberts is a player's manager, so him wanting to get Jansen in there was probably on his mind already. But, you know, they made a big fact out of Tyler Rogers blowing the save the night before and then coming back yesterday. And I don't think that played into it at all, but I do think, you know, Roberts wanted that little redemption story, and it would have been better off maybe going with somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's other ways to, I mean, I know Dave Roberts is a player's manager, and I like that about him almost all the time. But I mean, I used to be a boss, and I was a pretty good boss. My employees liked me. I was what you would call a player's manager. So I'm not just talking out of school here. It wasn't baseball, but you know, I had employees, I had guys, I understand you got to keep them confident, you got to keep them motivated, all that stuff. But I really think that it could have been just as effective a message for Dave Roberts to say, hey, big man, you know, you're still my guy. And, you know, we're going to get you back out there Friday night. You know, take today off. You threw 27 pitches. You know, it was a rough night. You take today off. We're getting you back out there Friday night, you know, and we're going to get you right back on that horse. I don't see why the right back on the horse had to be tonight when you have total plausible deniability with the 27 pitches thrown. Nobody pitches the day after throwing 27 pitches. And so when you have a guy who has struggled in back-to-backs, he wasn't sharp yesterday, you know, it just, like, I get what Dave Roberts is thinking. I just think it was the wrong decision.
Like I said, there was a few things went against him. You know, even the check swing, although he didn't throw a strike before that, or he only threw one strike before that in that at-bat, and it ended one full count. So the Sheldon Noisy and Chris Taylor combining to, you know, hurt that a little bit. Sheldon Noisy not stretching out, Chris Taylor. I haven't seen the other angle to see if he would have had a better play at first, but usually that's an easy play at second. Wasler must have had a big lead and obviously taken off full speed as soon as the ball was hit. So it sucks. You know, offensively, Dodgers put up 3 runs, not great again. DeSclafani, they've hit him well so far this year, but the fact of the matter is they've hit DeSclafani well compared to everybody else. They've hit Tyler Rogers well compared to everybody else. They've hit Kevin Gausman better than they have and than anybody else has. Still lost 3 of the games, 2 of those games, which those guys started, and 1 game where a guy closed it out. So they're still ahead of the Giants on the season series, but they could have distanced themselves even more. Could have been 1 game up in the division at the very least with just closing out the last 2 nights. So it makes it, you know, annoying. And they play the Rockies this weekend, so they should hopefully sweep that. But the Giants, I think, play the Pirates, so they're not guaranteed to lose any games. And they go back at it next week for 3 in San Francisco. And unless the Dodgers can get, you know, Mookie back or Seager back or both, it seems, you know, a little bit iffy again. You're back on more equal ground when you don't have those 2 guys in the lineup. The good thing is that they will have Julio and Buehler throwing against them, which both guys went 7 innings, gave up 1 run. The bad part is that they didn't win any of those games.
Yeah. So when you look at, they should be up by a game in the division, instead they're down by 3 just because of the last 2 nights. Last night was on Kenley. You know, I for all the talk about they should have left Trinan in for the 9th last night, you know, like we talked on this morning's episode, no manager in baseball was going to tell his closer, I know you've had 4 days of rest, and so you're totally rested, but you did blow a save last time out, so we're going to bench you tonight. No manager would do that. You know, last night was on Kenley. You know, you could quibble about, you know, how long it took Roberts to take him out, whatever, but going to Kenley last night, it wasn't the wrong call. Tonight, it was just the wrong call. And if it had worked, maybe it does do more for Kenley's ego. And you know, Kenley did look good with, you know, some of the pitches early in that inning. He definitely had better stuff. But then, you know, facing Donovan Solano, who was 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts in his career, and then he just hangs that slider to him, or cutter, whatever it was, but hangs it right down the middle. You know, it's that command thing again. And, oh, I don't know. But we did, basically 2/3 of an episode this morning about Kenley. So, and now this one, we've spent 8 minutes now talking about him.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. We have told you that plenty of times. And guess what? They have one of the best tasting protein bars on the market on the site right now. Carrot cake with walnuts. It is. I've had this flavor before. I'm a fan of carrot cake, and this Built Bar is where it's at. It is very good and very tasty and just what you need. And just like every other Built Bar, not only is it good tasting, but it's good for you. Let's run down real quick some of the macros on Built Bars and most of their flavors. Around 17, 18 grams of protein. The calories range from around 130 to 180. 4 to 5 grams sugar, 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Keto diet, if you're trying to put on muscle, if you're trying to put on weight, trying to lose weight, whatever the case may be, whatever thing you are trying to do, Built Bar can help you out. Plus, Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, so that's pretty cool. Right now, if you go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com.
Edgar Pitino, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I just wanted to get your thoughts on, and I'm not sure if you covered this yesterday, but you think Freeman's looking for a closer now, or you think this doesn't change their plan, or, you know, something? What are your thoughts on that?
I think the Dodgers are definitely in the market for bullpen help. I don't think necessarily a closer. I mean, if Craig Kimbrell was available for the right price, I think they'd go for it. But I mean, they have Corey Knebel coming back. They have Jimmy Nelson coming back. They have Blake Treinen already there. There are options internally if they do decide to take Kenley out of the closure role or go to a closure by committee. I don't think they're necessarily looking for a closer, but I definitely think they are open to acquiring some bullpen help.
Yeah, I think they're always looking for bullpen help. And with Jimmy Nelson coming back, with Corey Knebel coming back, theoretically, that's like getting two pretty decent relievers, pretty decent to solid relievers off the market, assuming they're healthy the rest of the way. So that's a good sign for them. And kind of how we talked about yesterday, how Jansen may remain in the closer role the rest of the season. We saw it last year. We saw it in 2019, even when he struggled. And what we saw last year in the postseason was that Jansen wasn't necessarily the go-to guy in the ninth inning. And what that may be what happens again here in 2021. This year might be the one where they actually take him out of the closer role, because, like I mentioned yesterday, that he is going to be a free agent after this year. They don't have to cater to him too much anymore. They're looking for pitching, whether it's starting pitching, whether it's relief pitching, whether whatever the case may be. Because if, let's just say, they happen to get a starter that's better than the guys that they, then maybe Julio, or maybe a guy that slots into number four. Well, now you got Josiah Gray potentially as a bullpen arm. You got Tony Gonsolin. Maybe he can turn things around and be a bullpen arm when he's only focused on one or two innings instead of stretching out and, you know, maybe saves his shoulder a little bit. So they're looking for pitching in general. I'm not they're going to wait and see what's cheaper, starting pitching, relief pitching, and that's how they're probably going to attack it. But yeah, they're looking for arms in general.
Okay, Giovanni.
Hey, you guys. Everything, man, not good. But I guess I just wanted to say that, yeah, I mean, Kenley should have not gone out there today. Definitely should have not gone out there today. Noisy also, man. Noisy really let us down. He could have stretched out, done something there. But back to the point that Vince was saying, he put himself in that position. Should have never put himself in that position. I'm just ready to just move on and let's face him again next week.
Yeah, and we can't, you know, you can't expect even the best closers are going to allow some base runners. You know, the pitch to Solano was a bad pitch, and I know I say this a lot, but pitchers get away with bad pitches a lot of the time. You know, he didn't get away with that one. And obviously, then walking the bases loaded when it's a rookie, you gotta throw strikes there, you know. So yeah, it shouldn't have been in that situation. But it's one of those things where a lot of things can be true at once, you know. And the fact is, if Noisy stretches better, the Dodgers win this game. If the umpire, the first base umpire, is better at calling check swings, the Dodgers win this game. And if Kenley pitched better, the Dodgers win this game. If Dave Roberts manages better, the Dodgers win this game. So there's a lot of blame to go around. But, you know, the things that the Dodgers can control, in fact, really the only thing the Dodgers can control for sure is who you put on the mound for the ninth inning. And so that one, I never, you guys know me, I've been accused of being a Dave Roberts apologist, a lot of things. And I definitely think, you know, the players are almost always, the games are on the players. And this one, obviously, it's on Kenley for not pitching well, but it was not entirely unforeseeable that Kenley might struggle tonight. And so I think that's on Dave Roberts.
You know, speaking about pitching, moving on, and a new Ken Rosenthal article came out, mentioned two names that we haven't really discussed here. And one of those being a former Dodger and former really good friend of Rich Hill, who wasn't necessarily named as somebody the Dodgers were linked to. It was more Rosenthal kind of speculating. The Rays acquired Nelson Cruz, and that was a big add to the budget. So they could look to sell a little bit to decrease the budget. Rich Hill would be someone that they could do that with. So Rosenthal just linked him to the Dodgers. The other one that was more of a sources link was Ian Kennedy. And he's a guy who's become a one-inning reliever and maybe a guy that, you know, now could fit that role for the Dodgers, a late-inning reliever. I don't know if you have any – I'm sure you do have thoughts on those, Jeff.
Yeah, I have major thoughts on Ian Kennedy, which can be summed up in I don't think he's a very good pitcher, and so I'm not in favor of acquiring him because I'll go on the record, hot take, I want the Dodgers to acquire good pitchers. And I don't think Ian Kennedy is one. So there's that. As for Rich Hill, you know, personality wise, great. I'd love, you know, I have nothing but fond feelings for Rich Hill. And I know he's pitched pretty well this year, but he is roughly my age. And when what the Dodgers need is innings, I don't know that acquiring an old man with a history of injuries is necessary. You know, obviously, if the price is right, you know, if and what Rosenthal said in that article was after the Rays acquired Nelson Cruz, maybe they are going to want to cut some salary. So if the Dodgers could get Hill, you know, for salary relief just by paying, but it's only like $800,000 or whatever, you know, but if they could get him just by paying his salary and not have to give up much, sure, maybe it's worth taking a flyer on, but neither of those names gets me very excited. And you know, I don't know. I guess that's it.
It's one of those things where with Ian Kennedy, he's having a good year this year. He didn't have a good year last year in limited time. He had a decent year the year before. You know, this year he has a 2.59 ERA, but his FIP is 3.80. And in 31 innings, he has 33 strikeouts, so that's decent. He's not really walking people, 7 walks in that time. Like I said, he doesn't move the needle. He's a guy that probably slots more in the 6th, 7th inning. Like, you know, maybe competing with Phil Bickford at this point for a role, which doesn't really help the Dodgers too much. So in that sense, yeah, it's not exciting. Rich Hill's exciting for the fact that it's Rich Hill. And like I said, we have a lot of fond memories of him. He's been really good so far this year and honestly been really good the past few years. It's just a matter of him being healthy, which he hasn't always done so. But he's made 19 starts this year, thrown 95 innings, 3.87 ERA, 4.55 FIP. So not amazing, but he's in the American League. So a little bit different. Also in the AL East, a little bit different. They got some good lineups over there. But, you know, he's a guy that can give the guys, give the Dodgers, hopefully somebody that can throw every 5 days, which is what we've been talking about. And then it would be a matter of, you know, if let's just say they were to acquire him and it comes down to October and you got, you know, Kershaw, you got Bueller, you got Julio, and then you have Rich Hill as your fourth guy, which is kind of a bullpen game, but Rich Hill can for sure give you 3 or 4 innings no matter what. And we saw him do that. We've seen him play this role before, so he knows the role, and that's another good part. It's kind of not similar to another guy we talked about before, Kenta Maeda, who, yes, he knows the role, but he's maybe not accepting of the role. It's just a matter of, I don't know, even sure if the Twins are looking to trade him. I haven't seen him really being linked other than people just kind of correlating the fact that he's a starting pitcher, the Dodgers need starting pitchers, they're comfortable with him, whatever the fact may be. But the Twins may start selling. They sold Nelson Cruz. They may start trading some of these other guys. The price for Berrios has been reportedly very high. Not something I think the Dodgers go after unless they kind of think of going after someone with team control or multiple years of control based on the fact that Trevor Bauer might not pitch for them again. So that's also a possibility. But yeah, either way, those two guys, Rich Hill excites me more than Ian Kennedy, but even then it fills a role more so of innings covered rather than excitement.
Yeah. And that same article by Rosenthal had an interesting note about Max Scherzer. It was reported a couple weeks ago that Scherzer was only willing to waive his no trade clause if the team that acquired him was willing to give him a contract extension. And according to Rosenthal, Scott Boras clarified that that's not what was said, that he said basically that there would be contract revisions or accommodations made. And I thought it was a little bit weird that Scherzer would want an extension right then, because, and what Boras said was, we'd rather be able to negotiate with all 30 teams than just with one team. So we don't, not necessarily looking for an extension, but, you know, so it's things like moving expenses or, you know, different perks that they could throw in. And if that's the case, I think the Dodgers are a lot more likely to go the perks route than the contract extension route with Scherzer or Scorzer, as the guy on Dodger Talk said, just because there's so much in the air right now about Trevor Bauer's contract. The Dodgers have no idea at this point if they are paying Trevor Bauer $45 million next year or $0 or somewhere in between. And so I can't imagine them being willing to commit to a contract extension for Scorzer. I'm just calling him Scorzer from now on. But I could see them easily being willing to do something for this year when they're already over the luxury tax anyway, you know, just, okay, sure. You want us to, you know, fly your family first class to every game? Sweet. We could do that. You know, something like that. No big deal. I still don't think it's likely that the Dodgers acquire him. I don't even know for sure if the Nats are going to get around to selling or not, even though they should. But, you know, it does. I felt like when they were saying Squirzer wanted a contract extension, that took the Dodgers off the table. And I feel like this maybe puts things back on the table in that regard.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. With baseball season in full swing, you can track all the action online at Bet Online. But they don't only just have MLB. You can even bet on games in the CPBL in Chinese Taipei. You can bet on games in Mexico. They got a bunch of other sports you can bet on. They got golf. They got martial arts. They have the Olympics, which is coming on right now. Soccer, tennis. They got a casino, a race book, poker, esports. They got contests and promos running all the time. So make sure to head to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device to check it out. Check out the site. You can check out all the news, sign-up bonuses, contest information, all that good stuff. Put some money down and maybe win some money. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game. Head to BetOnline right now on your laptop or mobile device and sign up to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus at BetOnline. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Quick news coming in. Dave Roberts said Max Muncy will be away this weekend as he joins his wife for the birth of their child. So no Max Muncy all weekend. The Dodgers should still be able to handle business, but if Mookie ends up going on the IL, which is maybe something we talk about right now, and then Seager doesn't end up coming back, which is another part to talk about, the Dodgers will be down those three guys. And not ideal, but still enough to beat the Rockies, hopefully. But yeah, Jeff, so Mookie Betts, they haven't put him on the injured list yet, but Dave Roberts hinted that it might be something that happens. He hasn't really recovered or gotten better since coming out of the game on Saturday, so that's not the greatest sign. The fact that the one game he finally broke out and had all the hits is when he got hurt and hasn't come back since then, so that's a little annoying. Corey Seager, they mentioned he could come back Wednesday, hasn't been cleared yet. There was no real update, so it's just, I guess, a waiting game. I don't know if he's hurting, or I don't know if it's a doctor clearance thing. I'm not sure entirely what it is, but that, plus Cody Bellinger's struggles, hasn't had a hit in his last 20-some at-bats. It doesn't look ideal heading into a weekend against a team that struggles.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's been such a weird year injury-wise, and just nothing can go right. And, you know, I keep coming back. I mean, the fact is the Dodgers should have won 3 or 4 from the Giants. You know, if not for Kenley's implosions, the Dodgers are a game ahead, despite the fact that they had no Mookie this series. They didn't have Turner for half the series. You know, they missed Muncy for part of a game, and I think it's pretty obvious Muncy was still hurting on Wednesday's game. You know, no Seager. Bellinger is still in spring training in his mind or something. You know, all that stuff. And they still should have beat the Giants 3 out of 4 games. That's why, like, it's just so frustrating to come back to losing because of unforced errors when you have over. And I know the Dodgers aren't the only team dealing with injuries. You know, the Giants are missing Greasy Brandon Crawford and Giraffe Brandon Belt and whoever else, although I think maybe Lamont Wade Jr. might be a better player than Brandon Belt anyway. But, you know, so everybody deals with injuries, but the fact is the Dodgers are dealing with so much right now, and this could have been a big statement series for them, saying, look, we're playing at half strength, and we just beat the team with the best record in baseball 3 out of 4. That could have been a huge statement series, and even splitting the series, even if they win tonight, don't do the unforced error. Like, I can deal with bad performance. Kenley had an off night last night. It happens, you know, but to lose because of an unforced error, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah, one more thing coming in from Dave Roberts' press conference. He said that they decided to let Jansen face Lamonte Wade Jr. because they felt he still had enough to get him out and keep the game tied.
Yeah, did they ask why they let him face Darren Ruff? Because personally, yeah, and I understand it's still a safe situation. And if you're, you know, but he was up to like already high 20s after the play at second base that didn't get made. They should have brought in Bickford then to face Ruff. I don't think Bickford or Jansen is a good matchup against Lamont Wade. He hits righties really well. And so I think they should have gone with Bickford to face Ruff. And it is a little bit tricky because his base is loaded. And if Bickford does have one weakness, it's that he sometimes struggles with his command. And so, you know, it's possible that Bickford might've come in and walked Ruff too. But I don't know. I think at some point you have to pull the plug and say, you know what, we gave it a shot, big man. You know, yeah, if Noisy knows how to stretch, you win this game. But we're going to let Bickford finish this thing off.
I don't want to talk about Bellinger more, but it seems to be a topic on Dodgers Twitter. Ofer is last 24, 25, one of those. And, you know, we've talked about it before. But you continue to see Bellinger slander, I guess, not necessarily slander because it's deservedly so. He's not hitting. Here's the fact of the matter. If there's anyone out there that thinks Cody Bellinger should be sent to the minors at this particular point in time, do you really want to see AJ Pollock in center field or Zach McKinstry at shortstop? Because send Cody Bellinger out of the lineup. Chris Taylor can't play center and short. So you're either going to have McKinstry at short or you're going to have Noisy at short or you're going to have Pollock or I don't even know who else. Nobody else. Maybe or the new guy, McKinney, could maybe handle center field, but he didn't really handle that ball in right field too well off Lamonte Wade Jr.'s bat. It probably maybe should have been caught, but it was a tough play. But yeah, I mean, right now at this particular point to complain about Bellinger not being in the lineup is more so you're overlooking the fact of they need to have him in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Bellinger is an elite defensive center fielder. He has elite speed. We saw in this series, the Dodgers scored two runs that they wouldn't have otherwise scored. Or, I mean, I guess Taylor did homer after one of them. So, but Bellinger's speed scored them two runs, you know. And so, obviously, his speed would be more valuable if he was getting on base more often. But I think that's going to come around. And I think, yeah, he's just too valuable defensively to even consider. And that's why I said the other day, they're not even considering sending to the minors.
Yeah, the other part is even if Mookie Betts does come back healthy, his issue is running. So center field, you're doing significantly more running than you would in right field. Probably not something the Dodgers want. If Seager comes back, then I guess theoretically, yeah, you could put Taylor out there in center, but then you have to decide if you want who you want at second base. McKinstry's fine, but he's made it. Like, it's just – it's not like everyone's hitting and Bellinger's not. It's just Bellinger's not hitting. But they still, at this point, with all the injuries they have and everybody missing, they still need him out there. It's not like 2018 where they could afford to platoon him. They had other guys that could play different positions. And he wasn't necessarily, you know, that elite yet, or at least not what we know he could be. Now he is. And it's not really a benefit to weaken the defense at certain key positions like shortstop or center field in order to get a bat that is maybe hitting barely slightly better than Bellinger's doing.
And I guess we ought to quickly mention Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler was awesome. You know, the first batter of the game scored, and then he shut things down, you know. And even that one, you know, Wade probably doesn't score. You know, Wade should have been out at third, stealing third. You know, Smith, one hop to throw. But they had him caught there. You know, a lot of things. Buehler very easily could have gone, you know, eight shutout innings tonight instead of seven and a third with one run. And seven and a third with one run allowed is pretty darn awesome. So Buehler looked great and deserved a win.
Yeah, like I said, the last two nights you get seven innings, one earned run from your only two horses right now in the starting rotation. That's a good sign for the Dodgers. You know, Buehler's been doing it all year. Julio had, like we talked about yesterday, had hit a wall a little bit, has recovered from that and been really good the last two times out. It's a good sign for them going next week into San Francisco, although Julio struggled the last time he faced them so close together. But SF's a little bit different than Dodger Stadium. It's a little bit more of a pitcher's park, so he might be able to get away with a little more and, you know, might have a different game plan than he did last time. So, yeah, the starting pitching's been great, honestly. You know, even on the game before the game that we were at with six innings out of Nunez and Josiah, like, yeah, they gave up six runs, but – you know, the length was kind of more important in that specific game. And it's just funny how, you know, having Jansen, having Trinan and Jansen available for Thursday and Friday, or for not Thursday and Friday, but for games 3 and 4, worked out in one sense where China was lights out, but didn't work out in the other sense where they ended up using Jansen twice. But the Dodgers are, they can get those two guys, keep rolling. If they can get Josiah, giving them consistent 5 innings, if Tony Gonsolin can figure it out and give them a consistent 5 inning, Clayton Kershaw comes back in 2 weeks, and even with no reinforcements, they'd still be in a decent position. But you can only imagine that there's going to be some kind of reinforcement coming this way.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure to tell your friends and family, and make sure to spread the word however you can. We are on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Betting on baseball and the Dodgers doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart. All heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!